Each one of us has different struggles in our Christian life. I was in the office a couple of months ago, and Brother Leonard, one of our deacons, and by the way, I'm thankful for good deacons. I'm thankful for good deacons. I'm thankful for men filled with wisdom that God imparts. I was so trepidatious about not being here last week for a business meeting. I just want to be here, amen. And all I heard was what a wonderful job our deacons did in handling it and taking care of it. And Brother Leonard and I were talking, and we were just sharing some things about the ministry. And Brother Leonard said this: each of us has weak points. Each one of us has weak points. And in so much of Christianity today, I think too many lift themselves and their strong points up while spending far too much time focusing on and criticizing another brother or sister's weak points. And all God's people said, huh. Each of us has inconsistencies in our spiritual life. Some have trouble with the sins of the flesh. They seem to follow them. Others, and you wouldn't believe this, but there are Christians, they have trouble with their diet. I mean, to a point of gluttony, or to a point of the opposite. There are Christians, maybe even some in this room, that have trouble with a stubborn habit. I mean, you've been trying to kick that habit for years. You just, it bothers you. It's just such an inconsistency in your life. I think of some of us concerning our own inadequacies. We feel that they lead us down a path, and the next thing you know, we become inconsistent. I think of some struggle with laziness or addictive tendencies. In the context of Romans chapter 7, we find three different men in the law, just by way of introduction. We find a spiritual man, a natural man, and a carnal man. In verses 1 through 6, we find the spiritual man is delivered from the law. His relationship to the law is like a widow who is freed from her husband by death. That's the spiritual man. He's delivered from the law. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you're a Christian in this room today. Listen to me. You are not under Old Testament law. By the way, that doesn't mean you just get to discard moral law. God has a way of repeating things in the New Testament that still hold sway and truth. But listen, I'm not under the Levitical dietary law. Thank God it's Easter. I had a ham. Amen. I don't know what you had, but I had ham. Glory to God. I'm not under the Levitical law. I've been delivered. Amen. His relationship to the law is like a widow freed from death, or like a dead man freed from lust. Verses 5 through 6 tells us that. Said, for we were in the flesh, for the motions of sin which were by the law, which did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Listen, a dead man has no trouble with lust. No trouble at all. Amen. And so the spiritual man is delivered from the law. He's not only has a relationship to the law, but he has a relationship to the Savior. He's raised by Christ. He, according to this text, he's married to Christ, and he's able to bear fruit for Christ. That's the spiritual man. By the way, that's the kind of man and woman that God wants us to be. Amen. To know that we're alive in Christ, and that we're married to Christ, and that we're able to bear fruit. But then we have not only the spiritual man who's delivered from the law, we have the natural man is doomed by the law. And you read verses 7 through 13, and you find that the law is holy as it comes from God, and the law is good as it prepares men for Christ. Galatians 3:24 talks about the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. When I got saved, Brother Jim, it was pretty easy to see that I had broken some of those big Ten Commandments. That was the law showing me that I was sinful and that I had to come to Him by faith. So the law is holy, the law is good, but also the law, according to verse 11, it says, for sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me and slew me, slays the sinner. That's the natural man. He's doomed by the law. The spiritual man is delivered from the law. The carnal man, thirdly, verses 14 through 25, where we're going to take our text from, is defeated by the law. Because he realizes that attempting to keep the law in his flesh, in his strength, just results in carnality. He goes on to say, look, the things I know I shouldn't do, those are the very things I do. And the things I know I ought to do, I don't do them. Sounds like an inconsistency there, amen? So attempting to keep the law results in carnality. Attempting to keep the law will not result in spirituality. You know who is the classic Bible example of that? The Pharisees. They were not spiritual. They weren't. They thought they were. Matter of fact, their noses elevated at, I don't know, about 130 degrees, and they just walked around like this. Because they said, well, I give tithes, and I do this, and I. And they had the big eye problem, didn't they? Pride. So attempting to keep the law does not result in spirituality. It results in carnality. And you know what? Really, attempting to keep the law must be abandoned. Because it just leads to defeat. So the carnal man is defeated. Where I want to apply this text, and particularly the back half of the text, verses 15 through 23... is we see the conflict of the flesh and the spirit. The flesh and the spirit. And again, if you've been saved, you have a new nature. You've received the Holy Spirit of God. If you truly got born again, I mean you truly trusted Christ. And by the way, you say, do I have to know everything to trust Christ? No, you need to know you're a sinner and He's the Savior. That you need to know. Amen. That was good enough for me. That was good enough for countless of you, whether you were 5 or 25 or 55. Amen. If you trusted Christ, you got the Holy Spirit. And the spirit and the flesh are at war one with another. They lust after one another. They desire to have. Listen, the Holy Spirit of God desires to control your life. And you know what else? So does the flesh. So does the flesh. And by the way, the flesh never quits, does it?
No.
Never quits. You know when it's going to quit? The day we wheel you in here horizontally. That's when it's going to quit. Or the rapture. Praise God. Amen. But the flesh just keeps at it. And serving our flesh leads to defeat and inconsistencies. When we give into the flesh, we become inconsistent. I want to talk to you tonight about, I want to give you just 10 points, no sub-points, Brother Hendershot, amen? 10 points tonight about overcoming your inconsistencies. Some ways, some practical ways to help you. Listen, I have inconsistencies. You say, what are they, Pastor? None of your business. You know what? It's none of my business what your inconsistencies are. We all have weak points. I want to just give you some practical, scriptural help. First of all, go over to 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13. Topical message tonight. I believe will be a help. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm looking at this Bible. I've got notes in here. 8/27/97, Tom Malone. My first week at Midwestern Baptist College, my wife and I got there, hadn't even unpacked the U-Haul, and went to her Dr. Malone on that Wednesday night. Amen. 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. What's the first thing if we're going to overcome our inconsistencies that we need to do? We need to research our own salvation. We need to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. Did I truly trust Christ? Listen, I've met adults that didn't. They thought they did. But they didn't. Amen, Miss Brenda? Amen? Live a life, Brother Jared Shannon. I've met others. Listen, the first thing, if you're having inconsistencies in your life, the first thing to ask yourself is, am I saved? By the way, the answer should come ringing back. Yes, I am. Or no, I'm not. Amen. By the way, you say, well, I didn't get saved just like this person or that person. Here's the question. Did I trust Christ? Am I relying only on Him for salvation? If the answer's yes, the answer's yes. I'm not trying to talk anybody out of their salvation, but I will tell you this, that a lack of Bible salvation will lead to an inconsistent spiritual life. For it has no flow, amen, no stream from which it comes from. So the first thing to do is to say, am I truly born again? Have I trusted the Lord? The answer, we'll come back to you. So, research your salvation. Secondly, go back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. If we're going to overcome our inconsistencies, the first thing we're going to have to do is research our salvation. Make sure we're truly, genuinely saved. Second, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. It says, ask, and it shall be what? Given you. Seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, to him that knocketh it shall be opened. What's the second thing, Pastor? Not only research your salvation, but request help. So many times we just think, you know what, I'm just going to defeat this inconsistency myself. I'm just going to be consistent. And we never are. Lord Jesus, help me to be more consistent. Amen? Listen, He is ready and willing to help us. He wants us to help. Just ask. Listen, not to request help is an open admonition that you either don't need help or don't want help. And if you're dealing with inconsistency, can I tell you this? Both of those are untrue. You do need help, amen? You do want help. You're struggling with inconsistency. Talk to the Lord and request His help. He wants to help. His arm is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. And that brings me to my third point. Number three, we have to research our salvation. We have to request help. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And I'm going to need, Pastor Donald, I'm going to need your help on this one here. We're going to just use Pastor Donald as an example here. And he's an example, he's a picture of health, actually. He's a bodybuilder. He's a bodybuilder, amen. And most of you know that, amen. Pastor Donald, the will of God for you is to every day go down to Miss Joanne Wireman, go down these stairs, hand her a track, and then come back. And work your. That's the will of God for you. So you come back here, okay? And I'm going to run out of tracks here. So you go ahead. Go get the other one, okay? Now, the third point is something we don't think about. These hymnals, I'm sorry for the Wilds, but they're going to represent sin tonight. Now, the Wilds are a fine organization. They don't represent sin, but they're just going to for this illustration. So the third point is this: remove sin in your life. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Amen? Amen. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Pastor Donald's got some sin in his life. But he can still do the will of God. Yep. Right? Okay, but he gets convicted about it and he comes back and he confesses his sin. And you know what happens when you confess your sin? Jesus Christ is faithful and just to not only forgive, but to completely cleanse. But Pastor Donald goes, oh, let's say 3-4 days without confessing his sin. And he can still do the will of God, but he's having a harder time about it. Amen? And now he goes another... Don't use your chin either. Okay? He goes maybe 7 days without confessing sin. Okay? He's a very skilled sinner. Amen? He's a very skilled sinner. Okay? He can still do it, but it's becoming harder and harder for him to do it. And now he's gone a good 3-4 weeks without confessing sin and now he can't do anything but hang on to his sin. can't do the will of God. When in all truth, all he has to do is come to an old-fashioned altar and say to God, please forgive me. Please forgive me and cleanse me of my sin. And you know what God will do? He will forgive and he will cleanse. Sometimes our inconsistency is because we don't remove sin in our lives. And you know what? Curtis Hudson said this. One of the best statements. It's a, what I call a flyleaf statement for your Bible. He said, keep short accounts with God. Listen, when you mess up, fess up. And listen, you don't have to bow your knee when God convicts you of sin. You don't have to close your eyes and say, God, forgive me, especially if you're driving. Amen? But you could say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me of that. Forgive me of that thought. By the way, you've been saved a long time. Pretty soon, it's not the sins of the flesh, it's the sins of the mind. Lord Jesus, please forgive me. Please cleanse me from sin. It's hard to live a consistent life carrying around a load of sin. Keep short accounts with God. Remove sin. Confess and forsake sin often. Often. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall find mercy. Research your salvation. Request help. Remove sin. I love this one. 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 19 and 20. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Number 4, how can I overcome my inconsistencies? Remand yourself into the Spirit's custody. And they talk about that when a person is a fugitive and they catch him and they'll say, he's been remanded into state custody. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you are saved here tonight, ye are not your own. You belong to him. And he's given you the Holy Spirit of God to guide you along, to convict you of sin, amen, to comfort you when you need it. Remand yourself into his custody. Romans 6:13 says, yield yourself, servants unto God. Giving God the right of way in your life. Desire and request the filling of the Spirit. By the way, the filling of the Spirit is not you having more of the Holy Spirit. You've got all of Him you're ever going to have. But it's the Holy Spirit having more of you. Less self, more Spirit. Amen? Remand yourself into His custody. Say, listen, Holy Spirit, I'm giving myself to you. Lead me, guide me, direct me, convict me. Show me if there be any wicked way in my life. That'll help you overcome inconsistency. Number 5. We're in 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians 9. This is probably one of the hardest ones right here. Number 5. Verse number 24 of 1 Corinthians 9. Know ye not they which run in a race, run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. What's the number 5 thing? Rule your flesh. Rule your flesh. You know what your flesh needs? It needs you to rule it. The reason why so many times we're inconsistent, Jesus said it in the garden to his 3 precious disciples, the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And you know what it needs to be? It needs to be ruled. It doesn't need to be coddled. It doesn't need to be hugged. It doesn't need to be pet. It needs to be ruled. It needs to be dominated. It needs to have the Spirit's heel right on the flesh, telling the flesh what to do. By the way, if you've never fasted before, that's what fasting is. Fasting is the Spirit ruling the flesh. It's saying, I don't care if you growl at me all day, stomach. We're fasting. We're praying about something. Something's important enough to do without food. Rule your flesh. Why? Because it's no good. It needs to be ruled. We read it right here in our text in Romans chapter 7. For I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth how many good things? No good thing, amen. It needs to be ruled. Why? Because it's rotten. And you know what else? It'll betray you. Romans 13:14 says, give none occasion to the flesh. Why? Because every time you let it up, it will betray you. How many of you had a fight when you were a kid? Amen. You had a fight with somebody. And you were fighting, and maybe you were the winner this one time, amen. And they said, okay, I give up. And you let him up, and what happened? You got socked in the side of the head as soon as you let him up, amen? Well, let me just tell you something. The flesh is going to tell you every time, okay, you win, let me up. Don't let him up. Don't let him up. I tell you what, I'd like to baptize the flesh and hold him down twice and bring him up once. Now, I've never done that to anybody, amen? But boy, my own flesh, I think of how it needs to be ruled. It's like the bit and the bridle in James chapter number 3. The flesh needs to be ruled. It doesn't need to be coddled. Too much of that today. Amen. Too much of that coming from pulpits today. Just saying, go ahead, please your flesh. No, the flesh needs to be ruled. It needs to be put under our spiritual heel. It'll deal with inconsistencies. Rule the flesh. Remand yourself into Spirit's custody. Remove sin. Request help. Research your salvation. Number 6. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Familiar portion of Scripture. Verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Number 6, release hindrances. There are things in our lives that are not necessarily sinful, but they hinder us. They hinder us. I think of this, the young generation. The young generation, and I'm not against it, I'm for them. We're for them as a church, amen? But they spend an inordinate amount of time on social media, on the computer, in front of the television. Listen, those things aren't necessarily sinful. I've been on a lot of social media today. You know what it was? Happy Easter. He is risen. Amen? A lot of that, encouraging things. I saw pictures of my friends' kids and things like that, encouraging. But I'll tell you what, it can very quickly become a weight. Yes, sir. We don't spend any time in our Bible. We don't spend any time in prayer. All we do is do that. Listen, folks, release hindrance. You know what your hindrances are. If you spend hours and hours and hours and hours in front of the TV, forgive me, throw that thing out the window. Serious. Throw it out the window. Now, you don't necessarily, if you want to sell it, that's up to you, amen? But cut the cord, do something. Regiment yourself where you release those weights in your life. Why? They're dragging you down. They're hindering you. And that's, listen, that becomes so many times it's not the sins that cause us to be inconsistent. It's the weights. It's the weights. It's the things in our lives that we don't need. And Paul gives us this illustration here of running a race. And anybody running a race, be they a sprinter or be they a marathon runner, nobody runs with a 50-pound weight on their back. They put on them running shoes, which are the lightest ones you get, those running shorts and those thin shirts, and they run. Why? Because they're trying to be the winner. They're trying to win that race. Hey, listen, we're trying to win a race here. We're trying to win a race. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Release hindrances. Get rid of those weights. Something else, Ephesians 5:16 tells us, redeeming the time because the days are evil. This is something very practical that's helped me over the years to try to stay consistent, and that is rely on a schedule. Rely on a schedule. Nowadays, there are so many things that can help us to schedule things in, to be consistent, schedule consistent items. I'll tell you what, I forget about things, and boom, all of a sudden, on my computer, Brother Jim, Microsoft Outlook comes up and says, hey, you've got a meeting here in 2 hours. Oh my goodness, I forgot all about that. I'm thankful for things like that. I know Pastor Donald, when he first came, he asked me about that, and we set up a schedule, amen? And I know he's benefited from that tremendously. Each one of us, rely on a schedule. It'll help you to stay consistent. Boy, I think about probably the most important schedule as far as I'm concerned. And this was as far as I'm concerned before I was your pastor. You know what was important to me? Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I don't know how a person stays consistent spiritually without church, without their church family, without the preaching of the Word of God. And listen, I know sickness keeps folks out. Listen, I've been out 3 Sundays this year. 3 Sundays. I almost fired myself. Really did. Amen. 3 Sundays with sickness. I understand there are some folks that can't be here, but I promise you, if you can be here, you will benefit from being here. Rely on a schedule. Release hindrances. Rule your flesh. Remand yourself into spiritual custody. Remove sin. Request help. Research your salvation. Oh, number 8. Mark chapter 6, verse 7, the Bible says that Jesus sent them out. Does anybody know? 2 by 2. Number 8, remain accountable. Have somebody in your life that you can be accountable to. Oh, I know there's, of course, the Lord and the Holy Spirit that we are ultimately accountable to. And I'll tell you what, you would do well to have somebody in your life. Oh, I'm not talking about somebody you confess all your sins to. We don't have that. We've got the Lord. We don't confess our sins to man. But somebody that you could say in your life, say, hey, keep me accountable about my Bible reading. Hey, you know what? I want you to keep me accountable about passing out tracts. The next time you see me, I want you to say, did you pass out a tract? When's the last time you passed out a tract? Boy, I tell you, I appreciated professors we had in Bible college that kept us accountable. We'd have guys come in and guys would preach chapel, and they were pastoring their churches and doing the very best they could, and they'd come into chapel and these were men that were working jobs, pastoring, and they still found time to come preach in chapel, Brother Jim, and they'd say, hey, when's the last time you witnessed to somebody? In Bible college, you ought to be witnessing when you're in Bible college. They told us this, and it's beyond true. I've seen it come to pass. If you're not doing it here, you won't do it when you're out there. And that's the gospel truth. But we'd have men, they'd come in, they'd say, when's the last time you talked to a sinner? And you know what they were doing? Brother Jeff, they were keeping us accountable. They were keeping us accountable. They'd come in, they'd preach on us being debtors. Being a debtor to this world, to the Greek and to the Jew and to the barbarian. And you know what that means? We ought to be out there. And boy, the next thing you know, you wanted to run the first sinner down. Amen? Remain accountable. Have somebody in your life that you can share your inconsistencies with. Boy, I'm having trouble in the area of prayer. Keep me accountable on that. Hey, did you pray today? Listen, it's as simple. Sometimes with all the media that we have nowadays, is a quick text message. Hey, don't forget to have prayer. Boop. Next thing you know, they're having prayer. They're accountable. Oh, boy. So important. Remain accountable. Here's a good one. Go to Luke chapter 9. Two more points here. Luke Dr. Hamlin said, my sermons are like porcupines. They got so many points. Amen. 10 points tonight. Here's number 9. Luke chapter 9. Verse 57. Look at it with me. It says, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said to him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And that's the last we ever heard from that guy that was going to follow him anywhere he went. He said, and then said another, follow me. He said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid farewell to them which are at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Jump over to Luke chapter 14. Luke 14, verse number 16. Says, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. By the way, aren't you glad? That's the gospel invitation right there. Come, for all things are now ready. Nothing left to be done. It is finished. Amen. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said to him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord all these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Number 9. Something that'll help you to overcome inconsistencies is rest from excuses. Stop. Just stop making excuses. Somebody said an excuse is the close kinfolk of a lie. I can't go soul winning. Well, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I can't talk to people. Really? Really? No, you can. What you meant to say was you won't talk to people. It's okay to say amen right there. Listen, rest from excuses. They're not going to hold up at the judgment seat of Christ. They're not going to hold up. Amen. If God has given you a divine directive to do something, He will give you divine empowerment. So stop making excuses. They're contributing to your inconsistencies. Rest from excuses. Lastly tonight, and I love this one. We've got research your salvation, request help, remove sin, remand yourself into spiritual custody, rule your flesh, release hindrances, rely on a schedule, remain accountable, rest from excuses. This one's a long one. Remember, God does not love you one bit less because of your inconsistencies. He doesn't love you one bit less. He said in Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. John 3:16, but God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Listen, He gave His Son even though He knew you'd be inconsistent. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse 4, for His great love, wherewith He loved us. One last text tonight. Go to Psalms chapter 103. Psalms 103, and we'll finish here. Remember, God does not love you any less because of your inconsistencies. Does He want us to be consistent? Of course. Of course. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says. Oh, I love this verse. But God brought this verse to me in such a crucial time in my life when I saw these verses, Psalm 103, verses 13 through 17. I had marked them a long time ago. Boy, it says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. For as man his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so it flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know of it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Verse 14 says, he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. By the way, that doesn't mean we're pitiful. It just means, Brother Matt, the way that you look at Levi is the way that God looks at you. You know what? We all have weak points, as our dear deacon reminded me. We all have weak points. God doesn't love you less because you have weak points. Matter of fact, he loves you just the same, weak points or not. Thank God for that, amen? Because I got so many weak points and inconsistencies that it would be almost unlovable. But God loves us. But you know what? We can, with his help, overcome our inconsistencies. We can become that faithful Christian that we admire. Amen? By the way, you are that to somebody. So let's overcome our inconsistencies. Amen. Father.